Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
We've had a few people on the staff that said, I'm doing it. I've never done it before, but I'm going to do a dry January, or many people call it a sober January. Dr. Elizabeth Schwab is a psychologist, professor, and founding chair of the MA Behavioral Economics at the Chicago School. It's an institution that specializes in many of the professional applications of psychology. Dr. Schwab, welcome to the show.
Hi, happy to be here.
So, it seems like every year this builds a little more momentum and more people want to participate, whether they call it a dry or a sober or whatever. The whole idea is to try and go 1 month without consuming any alcohol. How realistic is it for people who maybe drink a couple times a week?
Well, it depends, right? Because the Chicago Bears are going to play the Packers next week. So
yeah.
It could be kind of difficult for Chicagoans, maybe more than usual. But it really just depends on maybe how you're feeling or why you're doing it to begin with. Maybe you overindulged in December, and so, you know, you really want to take a break, and having a couple drinks a week, you know, in a week, you're over it.
Yeah. And what happens to, you know, I've never participated because I can go weeks without drinking, but I will be having a beer on Saturday night, and then my birthday's at the end of the month, and I'm pretty certain that I'll have a cocktail or a drink of some kind. So I don't like to set myself up for failure, like I'm going to not do it all month and then, you know, not meet that goal. I'd rather be realistic. So is that why most people, or the movement started with January, because people overindulge in December? And with that, could we just choose February or March or any other month?
Absolutely. You know what? A couple years ago, I did a summer. I did 3 months during the summer, which is kind of obnoxious when you think about how much is involved in drinking and going out and going to Ravinia, for example. And yeah. I made it just fine. So it just really depends. I mean, I think that January is a nice time to do it because there's no holidays, no expectations of socializing as much, especially with the cold weather. We're probably staying in more. But you can pick any month. You can do February, you can do March, whatever suits you, or you can even just take a week or 2 weeks and see how it makes you feel.
And what is the behavioral science behind it? Like, why is it good for us?
Yeah, it's good for us because so much of our habits is sort of mindless, right? We're going into a social situation, and one of the first things that the hostess offers us, what do you want to drink? And we say, you know, look around at everybody else that's there maybe, and we see people with glasses of wine or a bottle of beer, and we think, okay, I'll do the same thing. And it's sort of mindless. We're not checking in with ourselves to say, do I really want to have a drink? Do I need a drink? What do I have planned for later or tomorrow even? So, you know, a lot of this period of time is about becoming more mindful about our choices and saying, you know, what is this really driving me, you know, about? What is this, you know, telling me about what I'm experiencing?
I think a lot of people are drinking less because we are seeing generations behind us that are choosing to, you know, go alcohol free, not because they feel like they have to. It's a lifestyle choice, so much so that I saw in Axios today, sober bar crawls. So literally what used to be bar crawls are now to places that serve tea or kombucha or a variety of alcohol-free drinks. I'm intrigued by that. I think that's fun, but a lot of people still hold on to this sober January movement. What are the physical impacts if you are able to go 30 days without any alcohol or longer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it really depends on how much you've been imbibing in the first place. But some of the earliest benefits that you'll probably see: improved sleep quality, feeling more energetic. When you get up in the morning, having a little bit better a mood. And usually as the month progresses, you're going to realize other long-term benefits, things like reduced anxiety, maybe an ability to tolerate more stressful situations better and not be so reactive, being a little bit more responsive. And so the longer that you go, the more health benefits that you're probably going to perceive.
Yeah. And you talked about the difficulty of let's say, the Bears gathering on Saturday night. You know, people will be drinking beer and eating a lot of food. And usually people who don't drink go unrecognized in my space. You know, it's just not a big thing. But in those situations, people are going to be clanging beer bottles or glasses. So how do you navigate those social situations that usually lead you to drink?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a great question. I think it's more socially acceptable than ever to say, I'm doing dry January, and people understand it. Having said that, though, if you want to sort of be more subtle about it, there's a lot of great NA beers out there that you can have and be clinking and cheersing with people. And people aren't really going to see that. If you're into mixed drinks, ask the bartender to make you a mocktail or something that looks like a drink. They're really used to those sort of requests. Having, you know, something in a rocks glass that's bubbly with a slice of lime on the side, no one's going to ask. No one's going to know.
Yeah, and I don't think many people care. And you're right. Those cocktails and mocktails have changed so much. I was with someone in December who does not drink anymore, and they were telling me the differences between non-alcoholic beer and alcohol-free beer. And for people who struggled with alcohol, there is a big difference between those two. Non-alcoholic, sure. The way it was described to me, means there still could be a little, but alcohol-free means zero.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and I mean, too, you could even do this in a smaller way. I mean, there's reduced alcohol beverages out there as well, like reduced alcohol wine, which is really good.
Yeah, yeah. We need to come up with a movement for January for food, too. I know everybody goes on a diet and joins a club and all that kind of stuff, but we all feel like we overindulged in December, and it's just a reset. And that's why I think this does work for many people. Does it work to the point where people will decide to give up drinking or dramatically lessen it? Have you seen that within your practice or people you've talked to or any research that you've looked at?
Yeah, I mean, most people aren't going to totally give up drinking. They're going to go back to drinking, but they're going to do it in a more mindful way, because taking a break just gives us a little bit more information than we had before. We might avoid more stressful situations. We might avoid people that are stressing us out. Or we might even revisit hobbies and alternatives to coping in things that we haven't thought about for years, maybe, or maybe that fell by the wayside because we were busy socializing and grabbing the easy thing. And like I said before, you might enjoy times of sobriety or times of you know, just having an NA beer or reduced alcohol wine and having that just be for you, and understanding that in the morning, you're going to feel great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Are you participating?
Not this year. I'll have a beer next week.
Wonderful. Have a great day and Happy New Year.
You too. Happy New Year.
That's Dr. Elizabeth Schwab, psychologist and professor and founding chair of the MA Behavioral Economics at the Chicago School. Someone said, how about a fast food free February? Yes, yes. Fast food is a habit. It does take effort to not pull in and grab something when you're on the run. It does take effort. And so they said a lot of newly recovering people, or people who are recovering in general, will just say, hey, I'm taking some meds that I can't really drink with, if they feel uncomfortable saying I'm not drinking anymore. This person said they've seen that in the past. And yeah, there are so many reasons. I think you'd really have to be really young for someone to get in your face and go, why aren't you drinking? I mean, there comes a point where as an adult, you're just like, I don't have to answer those questions. I do as I please. So, do as you please and do as you choose. And if it makes you feel better, go ahead and do it. Kevin, you did it, right? Didn't you and Bridget
do
it a couple
years? We've done it a couple times. I don't know if I did it last year, but you know, it was always more of a reset after, you know, two weeks of the holidays and all the eating and stuff, kind of like a detox.
I know. I have a half a bottle of Moet Chandon left from New Year's Eve, and I'm thinking, well, how long is that going to stay good? And what could I do with that? Maybe make ice cubes or something. I don't know.